hold on to your butts. It's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die. Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And somehow it's episode 160 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Mandalorian-based catchphrase.
I don't know why I was in no way expecting that one.
As you were doing the intro, I was trying. How can I do a funny Mandalorian-based catchphrase? I'm like, I got nothing.
Yeah,
that's it.
So full spoilers if you haven't seen both episodes of Mandalorian. But let's just start there, because.
Right. But before you go and spoil people, Baby Yoda. Yes. Sorry, I'm just talking to the unspoiled folk and ruining it for them.
No, I will say that I liked the show more after the second episode than I did the first.
Me too.
But I still have... I don't know. I still have like an inherent problem.
I think here's my inherent problem so far with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I'll break it down for you by explaining what I think is the plot structure.
Okay.
So something happens, and then another thing happens, then a thing happens, followed by another thing, and then that next thing happens, and then the show's over, and then the next episode starts up, and it's the same thing. Things happen after happening. It's not a television show. It's a serial. It's a movie, and they're just chopping it up. That's annoying me.
Well, and to be fair, and here's the thing, right? Like, my big complaint was different, but they both of our problems come down to the weirdly the same thing. These are both integral parts of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Star Wars is a serial, right? Like, it was built off of serials.
Precisely.
And it's also a Western. It was built off of Westerns.
Yes.
My problem is that they have done the Western bit and ignored the pulp fun of it. The science fiction pulp fun of Star Wars. It hasn't really felt like it's there. There's a joyous kind of kids movie quality.
Right.
Star Wars, it's like even Jedi, it still has, like Last Jedi, I mean.
Yeah.
It still has that.
Yeah.
You know, Solo had it, even though I didn't really love that movie. Rogue One certainly, weirdly enough, still had it, even though it was doing like a World War II movie.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't. This is just straight up Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah, and there's humor, but it's very understated. Like, you just sort of see it in moments, like when, for example, the Mandalorian sort of gets into, like, the Jawas, like, you know, creeping thing. I can't remember, they even gave it a name. Something like that. And he's too big for it, so he's kind of like, and kudos to Pedro Pascal for managing to look visibly pissed off and just frustrated as hell, even in all his, like, body armor and helmet. I kind of enjoyed that. I'm hoping they do a little more of that, frankly.
They figure out what his character is at some point.
Oh, he's a very stoic Mandalorian.
Except when he isn't.
Yes. Yeah, I think us expecting character development from the show, especially in the early episodes, might be a fool's errand, because it's just very...
Well, I mean...
I think the way it's structured, we're not going to get... I think his character is going to be his tragic backstory, which is not character,
sure.
It's backstory, but...
Right, I mean, and here's the thing, is if this was a Judge Dredd show, I'd have no problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
But Dredd has a strong enough character from the first minute that you get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But The Mandalorian just doesn't.
Yeah.
I do think my favorite joke about it, though, is that since people are just calling him, like, Mando,
yeah,
that this proves that Lando's full name is Landalorian.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw that on Twitter. Maybe you retweeted it, but yeah. That's probably my favorite joke as well.
I love that.
I thought saying Lone Wolf and Yoda was funny.
It's a well-done show for what it is, but it's just, it's not my bag. And yet, I'll keep watching it for one reason.
Hello? Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Sorry, it's you vanished for a moment.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I have one big reason above all others that I'll watch it. I've paid for it already.
Exactly. Yeah, and I too am paying for the privilege of watching The Mandalorian. And when I don't want to watch that, I'll just watch The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, because that's
Sure.
what is available on Disney Plus. It's really weird.
It is, but I
I
mean,
just find Disney Plus very bizarre.
here's my thing though. Like, I'm not really upset about that because, again, I got the DC Universe thing. I got a subscription to watch Young Justice. Like, I didn't wait. I just because they had a sale for like a year, and I did the same thing with Disney Plus. They had a sale for like a 3 year thing, and I'm like, they'll eventually have all these Marvel shows that I want to see, and you know, other shit that I want to see. So I'll just go in cheap now, and you know, it's like I'll watch Titans basically.
Exactly.
It's not like unwatchable TV. It's
No.
fine. It's just kind of there.
Kind of. But it's what it, and but I find it interesting that they've just, I mean, a lot of people remarked very, you know, immediately on like the like huge amounts of money that have been thrown on to the Mandalorian.
Right.
But it is, I mean, that in itself is kind of impressive. Just
Yeah.
this like GOP of several small nations budget for this show, and it makes you realize that so much of television is people in rooms just talking to one another. And this is just, this is not that. In fact, there's very little dialogue at all. So there you go.
Right. I don't know. It's I've just kind of learned to accept my fate. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I'm not like
I
disappointed
understand.
in it even. It's just, yeah, it's a show, it's a thing, it's on. I'll watch it when I remember to. And maybe I'll eventually just completely forget and drop off of it. I don't know.
You know, I'm gonna ride it through. I mean, and the thing is,
I'm gonna try to.
it wraps up on the 27th, so they've obviously made a decision. They're gonna say a lot of people are gonna be sitting there eating turkey leftovers and going, "What are you doing today?" "Oh, there's nothing happening. Let's watch all 8 episodes of The Mandalorian."
Sure.
It's like a
Well, given it
Christmas
had
binge
a
thing.
reference to Life Day, I'm hoping that the 27th is just like the holiday special. Just that's it.
Yeah, or just like reshot, like a shot for shot remake, but just with massive amounts of money.
Right.
I think that would be delightful, frankly. And it's the other weird thing, and I put this out on Twitter the other day, is that really without the Star Wars Holiday Special, or particularly
Yeah.
the Boba Fett animation segment, this probably would not happen. Like The
Oh
Mandalorian
yeah.
probably would not be a show, because that
Well,
was the thing
that
that, I mean, that contributed to the Boba Fett myth, right?
I was gonna say it's there are two things that did it, right? Like one it was that, and one was the toy that got recalled really quick, so it became the first like Star Wars toy you couldn't find.
Oh, right.
Because it had the launching missile that was too small.
Right.
And like that's why Boba Fett suddenly was like the biggest fucking deal. And he's the shittiest character in the entire thing. Although, just a side note, speaking of the Boba Fett toy, if you didn't know, there is a new season of The Toys That Made Us out on Netflix.
Oh, nice. I did not know this.
And I'm trying to remember what they did. It's TMNT, My Little Pony, wrestling toys, and Power Rangers.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's worth it. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't. I just like I knew they were dropping soon, and you know, I hadn't gone looking, so I was like, I'll get there. And I found out today that those were the episodes, and they actually were on Netflix, so I'll probably watch at least one later.
Cool. Yes, I too will check that out. Oh. But was there
But
anything about The Mandalorian that you said, "I like that"?
not really.
Not even that Carl Weathers' character's name was Greef Karga?
I didn't know that.
Now you
I didn't
do.
catch it.
Yeah, Herzog's character says, "Greef Karga told me you were coming," or something like that. So
yeah, it's fine. I know some people who just love the show, and I get it. They're really into Star Wars, and I'm not. So you're gonna have way more love for it, right?
Oh no, it's made for old school original trilogy Star Wars fans. It just it just reproduces the look of the first Star Wars movie, like so very well. So I completely get why people love it. There are some things I enjoyed, but oddly enough, the things I most enjoyed from these two episodes were really it's the music and those end credits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, like, the first episode made me kind of angry just because it was so generic Western.
Right.
Down to, like, the montage scene of Learning to Ride the Horse. Like, it was just...
Oh, yeah. They're just beat for beat.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Adam, it's not a horse. It's a blurg.
Sure. That's what Tina Fey was always saying, right? She was just name check. I wonder if they actually did that. Because she's such a, like, you know, her character in the show is such a huge Princess Leia fan.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she was this blurg. Like, and Jon Favreau, I mean, I can imagine him doing it.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm going to call that as that's canon.
That's 30 Rock is, the 30 Rock shout out is canon.
Yeah.
I'm with you on this. I back you all the way.
Nice.
If you're ever in a Twitter fight with nerds what don't agree with you, call me and I will be there.
God. So anyway. Oh, what else happened? I don't even know. There was more Titans.
There was more Titans.
Still good, but you know. It's like, it's still good, but it's also still Titans.
It will never not be Titans. You know, I thought the Superboy intro episode was like a promise that this would not just be Titans, but it's just Titans.
Yep.
And it's...
Yeah, and this last episode kind of delved back into the bad end of the show again, which was interesting.
What was that? Oh, that was the one where they all end up at the diner, right?
Right, which includes, like, a bit that I'm curious if they're ever going to bother explaining the way they kind of set up for.
What's that?
Well, because they're all having these visions, right?
Right.
And no one knows where these visions are coming from. They get to the diner and, quote-unquote, Bruce Wayne shows up. And it's obviously a vision, because if nothing else, when he turns, there's a plate of donuts.
Right.
And, like, he takes one and just leaves. And I'm like, okay, so it's a shared kind of hallucination going on. Is this just Rachel's powers acting up? Like, what is even happening here? It is very much not what you're telling us. You might want to explain it.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do.
I'm just chalking it up to just Rachel's powers. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's possible, of course. It might not be. It might be something that they spring on us. Or maybe, because this is Titans, they might just be like, wasn't that a heck of a thing?
Right.
And leave it at that. Yeah, I have no idea. It's like, we need some way to get everybody back together. I know. How about an incredibly elaborate scenario taking up most of one episode in which they all go to a diner in the middle of nowhere and meet a vision of Bruce Wayne? And then he leaves.
Right, when you only have, like, three episodes left.
Yeah. And then, but most of the characters didn't even stick together. So
yeah.
It was an odd thing. And I'm wondering what's happened with Hank now. Because they didn't even
go and
find him. Like, they didn't even touch on his character. So I'm like, are they done with Hank? Are they just going to drop him?
Back.
Or he'll come back.
There have been all sorts of characters that, like, are missing for an episode or two, you know, because they have too many characters, not enough episodes.
That's true.
But yeah, Titans, still a thing. That's how I think about
Titans.
The show. Just like, yeah, that's still happening.
Yeah,
like,
I
watch it every week. I enjoy it when it's on, but it really is just kind of... It's one of those shows that I happily watch, and I would never recommend anyone.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that. Oh my God, that whole thing, what they're doing with Cadmus is doing to Gar. No, that's
well, that's what I meant by the worst end of the show.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
just, why are we even bothering? What does this do except look at us, we're edgy? Like, it just felt...
Exactly.
They'd gotten past this. And yet, here we are back on the ranch.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, that was unpleasant and not so entertaining. It was just like, we're just going to watch evil people being unnecessarily evil. So.
Right.
Yeah.
When instead we could be having a fine dessert, say a Flandalorian.
Ooh, I don't even know what that means.
I assume it would be like a flan in the shape of a Mandalorian helmet. I don't know.
I can serve it to you warm.
I just suddenly thought Flandalorian, and my worst impulses took over.
That's right. No, I would like to see the Mandalorian, but with him like as a chef or a waiter in a high end restaurant, always wearing the helmet. Just yeah. I think
what
I
if
would
he
probably
takes off the
enjoy
helmet,
that.
It's like Harrison Ford.
What if
the last episode of the show is just like fuck this, and he puts it down, and he goes back to the Falcon.
What if it's Dutch from Predator? I mean, who knows?
Even better, actually.
Even
like
better.
It.
That would be some.
Oh wait, no.
Wait, what?
I might have a better one for you.
Do tell.
What if he takes off the helmet, and underneath it is a Judge Dredd helmet? It's just helmets, as far as the eye can see.
That's right. And next, it's another helmet, and then just helmets.
Right.
Oh yeah. Well, I can,
all the
I
way
can
down.
Go with that.
He's
yeah.
a very teeny tiny head. wearing 15 helmets.
That's right. There's a Rorschach mask somewhere in there. There's just about everything.
Jesus.
And it'll just be captioned as the greatest crossover event of all time.
Right.
And actually, it would make sense because of the opening of each episode, we've got that weird helmet montage. Did you notice that?
It feels like... Weird. Oh, yeah, no, it feels like Star Wars needs to... Because, like, they don't have the fanfare anymore, right? Because they're not Fox.
Right.
And they need something. And I guess, like, with Marvel, they do the whole comic book flippy thing.
Right.
And so Star Wars will have its own, like, Star Wars-y helmety thing.
You get a helmet, and you get a helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of them weren't helmets. It was like R2-D2's head isn't a helmet.
Right. That's true.
But, yeah, it's...
But, you know...
It's their thing. It's their new branding for their whatever bullshit.
all helmets all the time.
Well, it's, you know, like all the studios do that now. Like that's the big thing, right? Like DC changes theirs every few years. Marvel changes theirs every couple years.
Right.
And I guess Disney, because they started doing the Marvel ones, were like, Star Wars should have one of these. Like I'm willing to bet you it happens before the next movie.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt.
I think that'll be the first one without the fanfare? Or no, there wasn't a fanfare last time, was there?
For Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I thought there
has
was.
Has anything in the trilogy had the fanfare?
Oh, I'm sure there has been. Yeah.
Okay.
I am certain.
Well.
Oh, and see, now I have to go look at The Last Jedi again, because I'm all nervous about a fanfare, when really the proper response would be, hey, who gives a shit? But we seem
right.
to do it anyway.
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, there's the crawl.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is why we should...
Have you explored any other...
Tired.
Have you explored any other of the byways of Disney Plus besides The Mandalorian?
I haven't yet, because... Well, you know, I was gone... Like, we recorded, like, not long after I got back. Like, I'd just been back,
right.
like, from New York.
Gotcha.
And then this weekend, I was actually supposed to be at a convention. I ended up not going. But most of this week was just catching up on the universe. So it was really just, yeah. Like, that's the only way to describe this last week. It's just been, yeah. I've just been catching up on everything and, you know, trying to watch all the TV all the time and just get stuff done. So I have caught up on a bunch of stuff, though. Like, I'd fallen a couple episodes behind on Supernatural. I am now
caught up. Right. Yeah, well, Yeah, let's we should maybe talk about that for a bit, because I am not caught up on Supernatural. I'm a few episodes behind now. I think I've only watched the first three, so.
Yeah, like I think I
But
watched the first like two,
yeah, I mean, but
and then
this
I
is the
like fell like
way.
three episodes behind.
Yeah. But this is the way I like to do. I like to watch Supernatural in this fashion. I watch a few episodes, then I kind of forget the show exists for like periods of time, and then I'm like, oh shit, and then I catch up.
Right, I mean, I've done the same thing with Supernatural for the last couple of years. Like, I've really enjoyed the last few seasons, but it is still one of those things of, well, it's Supernatural. It'll always be around. I'll catch up. But this last episode, they leaned really hard again into the TV writer metaphor bit.
Oh, tell me more.
We catch up with Chuck.
Oh, yes.
And Chuck goes and visits, and they actually, in their like previously on, they actually go all the way back to this episode, where Chuck had the stalker fan.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember that.
And so the episode is like, I mean, well, part of it is this whole other case, of course, with Sam and Dean. But the other half of the episode is interwoven with Chuck visiting this ex-stalker fan of his. And she's all like, well, I've moved on. Like, I don't need you to write Supernatural. Like, I write Supernatural now. He's like, you can't do that. It's mine. She's like, I can do that. Like, you weren't giving me what I wanted from the story, so I've done it myself. And like, now I sell these like models on Etsy that are like, you know, recreations of scenes from Supernatural. And she has like a whole bunch of like Supernatural toys, like, you know, the pop figures and all this. It's kind of funny that they just put a whole bunch of Supernatural merchandise in the show. Because it allows for it, right? But it is this whole like meditation, like Chuck isn't happy. Why not? Well, he's a writer, but he's not writing. And maybe he should try writing this ending. And like, she's like, it's terrible. And at one point, though, she's like, you know, yeah, I just, you know, do like them hanging out or like having dinner or doing the dishes. You know, that's what people like. He's like, well, they like the monsters, right? She's like, no. He's like, no, but come on, so the monsters, like the Leviathan, right? Like that thing didn't even have lips, it's just teeth. And she's like, yeah. And they're sitting there calling out like their worst, biggest, like season threat.
Oh, nice.
But it is like this whole weird thing of like what the show is doing isn't what the fans want from it anymore. And is that okay?
So it doesn't come off as, because I know sometimes these things can come off as mean-spirited call-outs of fans and fandom, but it doesn't
No, at
sound
one
like
point
that.
he's like, well, at one point he's like, yeah, well, you're not really writing, it's just like fanfic. She's like, fanfic is writing, and just shuts him down.
Nice.
So it was like when they did the play, and they kind of rode that line of like, we love our fans, we love what you do, but also like, we're having this existential crisis in the writer's room, don't mind us.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And then, of course, things take a big, horrible turn because Chuck is a terrible person.
This is like the weirdest thing about Chuck over the years in Supernatural. He went from being a comic figure to like, oh wait, to like a god to like, wait, you're just kind of a shit person altogether.
Well, that's like any large thing in Supernatural, right? Like, that was angels.
Yes.
They were teased out, and then we meet them, and they're like, you're dicks. It's just the way of any higher power in Supernatural generally is just to be a dick, except for Death.
Yes.
All versions of Death have always been fairly cool. And it's saying something weird, isn't it?
It is actually. It's like that death is the only sort of like one with any
Right.
humanity or compassion. And everybody else is just kind of a self-interested or rule-obsessed asshole.
Yeah. And so yeah, no, like the Chuck stuff in the season especially has just made me so happy because it really is they know exactly the subtext they want to play with, and they're just making it text because they have no fucks left to give now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there
So.
is a supernatural character in The Mandalorian. Emily
Is
Swallow.
there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and she plays the blacksmith, the or the yeah, in the Mandalorian blacksmith
Right.
in the first
The
episode.
Forgelorian.
The Forgelorian. Yes, exactly.
I think that is that the I don't know.
Is that the official? Yes, that's the official name. That's
Sure,
canon.
run with it. Shut up. didn't they have like a lobster claw character in like Hans and like the Solo movie that was called like Clawy McClawface or something like that?
Yes. It wasn't quite as like nakedly bad as Clawy McClawface.
But it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. It was like the writers had either given up or they're just having some ridiculous fun at that point. I
Yeah,
personally,
it was
I think
Therm Scissor Punch. That's it. Therm Scissor Punch.
Scissor Punch. Therm, as in Thermidor. Holy shit. Yeah. I'm amazed. How did you? I'm assuming you Googled that.
I Googled solo lobster name.
Wow. Like you got, but you'd think that would be like a George Lucas thing that he came up with, and they just put in there because who the hell would like deliberately come up with Therm Scissor Punch, if not George
Someone
Lucas?
trying to honor George Lucas, like,
Oh Jesus, yeah.
didn't Kasdan write that?
I don't know.
Was fairly sure Kasdan wrote it.
Oh, really? Huh.
Now we have to check. Anyway.
I know Ron Howard, like, you
Yep.
know, yeah. Really,
Yeah.
Kasdan.
That was Kasdan. Which, I mean, that's it, right? Like, he knows how to name these things like Lucas would have wanted.
Right. Okay, Boomer, I say to Lawrence Kasdan. Anyway. Yeah, but I mean, there's some audacity in that, in just
Yes.
going all out, and like saying calling him Therm Scissor Punch. So hats off to Kasdan.
Yes.
McClunky,
It was a
McClunky, I
good
say to
move.
Kasdan.
Can I just tell you, that whole thing like happened and I was like, that has to be some sort of bullshit like Star Wars language thing, and it was.
Of course.
But what was weird is like people were making the joke to me before I knew what it was.
Yep.
Like I just hadn't seen anything that this was it wasn't. People were like, McClunky, I'm like, the Culkin? What are we doing? Like
Had to catch up. I had to wait for like some explainer to like say to like explain what was going on. And I was like, oh yeah, so it's some Star Wars. It's a
Right.
Tatooine word.
And I
It's
don't know if you've
easy to
heard about what
translate.
actually happened with that, by the way. Like
No.
why that whole thing, like why it was changed again, which is actually kind of fascinating.
No, I don't know about this.
So apparently before the Disney sale, Lucas had done a 4K version of Star Wars, where he, of course, decided to add in McClunky,
Right.
and various other little tweaks, and then didn't release it because the Disney thing happened. And they weren't
Oh.
sure if they wanted to release it because it's yet another edit and they were going to get yelled at. And then Disney Plus thing happened and they kept guaranteeing stuff in like 4K and all this, and they decided just not to spend the money. Redo it. Just use
Fair enough.
his. So it's this weird old version of Star Wars that Lucas never got to release.
That is bizarre. That frickin' film. I mean, it's been through more goddamn edits than Blade Runner at this point.
Which is saying something, right?
Which is saying something. I'm just always amazed at Lucas's inability to like finish or regard that one of his films as finished and to make these edits which are in no way consequential. That's the thing that amazes me. Nothing is
Oh.
changed except to make things slightly sillier or fancier.
I'm sorry, I just saw some TV rumors that is very disturbing. Are you ready for some breaking possible rumor news?
Okay.
Columbo could be getting a remake.
Oh,
Which, so far, you're like, that could be cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Written by Stephen Moffat.
Oh, God.
I kind of want to see his Dracula because it will lean into like the worst edges of Moffat on purpose. But oh my god,
Exactly.
he'd try to make Columbo. He'd oh god, he'd try to make. I just
I can
There's
just
no way
picture
that ends
like
well.
Oh, and just one more thing. Women are terrible and I have solved all the mysteries. Goodbye. That's my Moffat
That's what it would
quote.
be.
Oh, and the women all love me. Goodbye. That's the best I can do. God damn it.
You're
Do you
not wrong.
remember, when the words written by Stephen Moffat were an occasion for us to go, "Oh, this is going to be good." Do you remember those days? I
Yeah,
barely remember
back
them.
when he wasn't show running it.
Jesus, yeah. When he was showing up, like, for an episode or two in a season of Doctor Who and blowing all our minds and not running a show and us realizing that this was it. Like, his puzzle box was fresh out of blocks. And that, yeah.
I just, yeah. There's like a monkey's paw somewhere that just. Some Doctor Who fan. I really like those Stephen Moffat episodes, and I'm sick of Davies. We need a change in Doctor Who. Paw uncurls, and we have to fucking deal with it forever.
But we're getting more Who soon-ish.
Yes.
Sometime next year. More Chibnall
Yes.
run next. Chibnall run Who, which I can live with.
Yeah,
Because I
I really hope that like now that they've kind of burned in on the show, it'll really kind of take off.
I'm hoping so as well. And I enjoyed last season, but like a lot of these seasons in which like you get a new doctor, there are a lot of episodes which are just sort of figuring out how to work with the new doctor,
Of
figuring out the
course.
tone and everything like that. So I was pretty like after the Christmas special, which I thought, or the New Year's special, I think it was, which was I thought really good. I was
Yeah.
like, okay, I'm all ready for more, more Jodie
Exactly. Like you
Whittaker,
would
Doctor
give them a
Who.
season to burn in.
Yeah. And then it was like, well, maybe 2020. I'm like, oh, get fuck off, you assholes. But
Although speaking
there's been.
of burn in and seasons, I'm gonna steer us back to what we thought we were gonna talk about today.
All
The
right.
fuck is going on with Good Place? And I
Oh my
mean that with
God.
love and in no way bad, just holy shit, what the
Yes.
fuck?
Well, they've just, I think they've shifted into full Good Place mode, in which like every episode is like you just don't know what's going to happen. But we do know that an incredibly intelligent and thoughtful and ethical person is going to like solve the universe's problems. And I'm very glad that
Right.
Jason offered to do it.
Yes.
Just
That was so beautifully done. Yeah, I've
Probably
been
just the most
hearing,
re
by the way,
yeah. Go ahead, yes.
that the last episode will be 90 minutes long.
Sweet.
And I
It'd
don't
be
know if it's
a
gonna
Good
be
Place
like three
featuring
episodes, like
film.
the last three episodes, or if it's gonna be episode 14 is just 90 minutes long.
I mean, I like the former idea better, but I mean, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll happen in
Because,
January.
yeah. I mean, I can also see it because, we're getting around to like mid-season replacement time, like in January, so they might want to clear their, they might want to be, NBC might want to be like, clearing its schedule for the next thing.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure, although apparently it'll be like a 90-minute thing and then followed quickly by like Seth Meyers doing a special episode of his show with the entire cast.
Oh, nice. I
So
really like,
they're either way they're sending it out like big.
yeah, and I'm really glad they're doing that, and I'm glad that the show is getting the kind of love from the network and from other people that I think it deserves, and that I think the fans, the fandom, that the love that they sort of give it as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I love the revolt of the Janets in this episode was
Yes.
kind of perfect. It's very much in keeping with like this point in the history of North American history or whatever, and yeah, and totally unexpected. I that was a thing I did not see coming, and it's a beautiful payoff for that previous episode, which seemed to be kind of. I wasn't sure what it was doing, the one where in which Michael tells Bad Janet the story and
Right.
gives her the manifesto. And I thought, well, maybe this will pay off, or maybe it's just sort of like a really sort of poignant sort of little episode of life in the good place. I wasn't sure, but I did not expect this. I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. Although I am a little confused, because originally we were always told there were good Janets and bad Janets.
Right.
Right. Okay, so Disco Janet?
You know, the 70s was a hell of a time.
No, and again, I don't mind it at all. Like, and I actually do think it's more of the, you know, all the Janets are rebelling, so they're becoming more like people, which is why they all dress slightly differently type of thing. Because
that's kind of what
in
I
the
thought.
First season, I think it is. Yeah, because the first season or so, we see, like, the room full of Janets, they're all exactly the same.
Right.
So there's something going on here with the Janets, especially if, I guess they each have their own void. But they're transferable between voids? Like, I'm not sure what's going on there.
Neither am I. I've just...
There's something
I'm not...
bigger going on with the Janets that we might... It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't break anything, but it's just makes me go, like, I wonder if we're going to deal with that.
Maybe. Maybe,
you know,
maybe
we'll
they call
recreate
all...
Earth, but we'll take the current Earth and put it in all the Janets.
Right.
You know?
Jesus. Network amongst the Janet voids. Maybe the Janets all were busy calling the Titans to the Elko Diner. Bet you didn't see that crossover coming.
I did not.
Bet you don't see the point of me even saying it. I do not. Anyway. Yeah, that was good. And the other funny thing was that on this season of... BoJack Horseman, there's an episode that revolves around a revolt by all the Hollywood assistants, and which totally makes every like which predictably turns like everybody and like all celebrities into complete panic because they have no idea how to live without them.
Right.
Which and then I read a news story the other day that. Actually, the assistants, Hollywood assistants, are indeed trying to unionize, which was the plot of the BoJack episode. So I'm wondering if this is a thing that's in the air and sort of made its way into the Good Place. Just by,
possibly.
Yeah. Because that happened, I was like, wait a minute. This all just seems a little bit too convenient and tidy. Yeah. And I think also...
Which is kind of amazing, actually.
Yes, and also I think it's a good thing. I think, I mean, I from what I know of the life of like an assistant or any sort of intern, I mean, it's complete crap. So, good on them for, but you know, banding together and unionizing. This is a pro union podcast, at least on my end.
No shit,
so.
Right? oh no,
but,
all
I
the way
mean,
around.
Yes. What was I thinking of? Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, the good. I very much enjoyed this episode of The Good Place, and it's one of those episodes that for a half-hour show is tremendously dense. I mean, it managed to pack in the funeral stuff, like they all sort of held their own mock funeral, then had the entire climactic courtroom scene, and then one of the touches I loved in this episode was. When it came time for Eleanor to say a few words about Chidi, she didn't, right? She just says, what can I say, man? I don't know what to say.
Right.
I'm too close to... But then she, at the end, she does deliver sort of Chidi's eulogy, or she does say how she feels and like her regard for Chidi in the end, which is... It's like a standard Good Place maneuver. Is like the thing that you expect is taken away from you and then given to you at the same time, which kind of like what you said with in our last podcast when we talked about all the characters being wrong and right at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar idea.
Yeah. No, the show is just stunningly smart, and
mm-hmm.
it will both be a shame to see it go and perfect for it to go without missing a step.
Yeah, exactly. Because I just, I mean, I just can't imagine it continuing on much longer.
Season
I mean,
15, you know.
Season... Good place. Shit, that would be... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd probably still be watching it, but...
Of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Exactly. This time we'll get the
again,
experiment
speaking
right.
Of Michael Shore's... Well, speaking of Michael Shore's career, of course, Brooklyn Nine-Nine just got renewed for season 8 before the next
yes.
season starts.
Isn't that... That's amazing.
So,
I'm very pleased.
I mean, as it should be, because they need to at least do 9, frankly.
Hmm.
I mean, really, their last episode should be season 9, episode 9, right? Like, that's as far as the show
of
goes.
Of course. I believe
but,
sorry, I just got a text there, so
yeah,
I'm momentarily distracted.
Yeah. So.
Oh, hey. I know, by the way, I'm aware that you're not watching Watchmen.
I am not.
But. I think we've gotten to episode 5, so we're past the halfway mark. There's 9 episodes in the show, and I can report that the show continues to be good.
Okay.
That
I am glad.
I think yeah. Any sort of details I could give you probably would not be very meaningful to you because you're not watching the show. Mm. But I tell you, it is actually. Did you ever watch The Leftovers?
No.
Lindelof's last show? Okay, well then, it's even less meaningful for you when I say that Watchmen reminds me very much of The Leftovers.
Ah.
Which is essentially people dealing with tremendous trauma that has warped them and the world around them in ways that they just have to kind of try and get around. Also
gotcha.
That Jean Smart is in Watchmen, and she is the funniest fucking thing I think
so
I've
good.
Seen. Yeah, and she's super good in Watchmen. Like, she just... I don't know, like, in the last episode, like, she's trying to get some information. Like, she's taken over, like, the Tulsa Police Department, like, precinct. And,
sure.
And she says to one guy, you know, what about these pills that you were talking about with Angela Abar? He's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know, the cactus at your desk, I bugged it. She's like, don't take it personally. We're the FBI. We bug the shit out of the things all the time. And she just delivers this stuff so casually in a way that the other characters just have no idea how to like even counteract
That's
it. Because she's just, yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I might eventually watch it, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody on Twitter pointed out with you know, an argument with Alan Moore, that DC and Lindelof are the unequivocal villains in this whole thing, and I'm like, yep. I'm still enjoying Watchmen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I also am not watching his Dark Materials. So, there you go.
Yeah, neither am I. I mean, I watched the first episode, but I think I'm good. I just don't
But you
see...
know what I have been watching?
What have you been watching?
I've been rewatching the show because I had that like craving for like a very certain voice.
Mhm.
So, I've been rewatching Lost Girl.
Oh. How is it on rewatch?
The first time... Well, that's the thing. It's like, the first time I watched Lost Girl, I didn't know Loretta or Andrus' work.
Right.
And then, you know, you go on to, like, Winona Earp and Killjoys and all this, and learn to deep... Like, I liked Lost Girl a lot, but it was always one of those shows that was kind of lesser.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it this time and kind of paying attention for when Andrus... when Loretta especially has, like... done her thing, and the show gets weirdly, quietly filthy.
Yeah.
In like these little tease sidelines that you're just like, even Canadian TV, come on, how are you getting this past everyone?
Canadian TV really lets a lot of things go.
That's
yeah.
fair. But it's that kind of like gleeful, you know, like basically it's like every time like Kenzie opens her mouth, you're just like, you can feel Love Writer just sitting there cackling.
Yeah. Yeah, that is...
And for me, the show really is, it's you know, the characters are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
They all, from, like, minute one, have just voices that are them and no one else.
Yeah.
and, you know, motivations that make sense and how things turn and twist and all this. The actual kind of, like, case of the week stuff is forgettable.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't even, I can't even remember, like, any
exactly.
of their cases of the week. Yeah. It's,
like, the thing, it's a lesser show than Killjoys, but if you've watched Killjoys and you missed the fact that Killjoys was around, you could do far worse things than go watch Lost Girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's on Netflix.
Yep.
Just saying. So, yeah, I've been having fun just kind of rewatching that. Again, just for the voice, if nothing else.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No, that's it. Maybe I should watch a little bit. I did like Lost Girls, even if, as you say, it's no Killjoys.
Right. Like, it's one of those shows where I can watch it, and if I get distracted for a minute, I don't feel too terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try not to.
Fair enough. Yeah. Oh, hey. Speaking of things, perhaps not filthy, but certainly queer. Are you caught up with Batwoman?
Yes.
Because in the most recent episode, they leaned pretty hard into a queer storyline. You know,
yeah.
Dealing directly with like anti-gay sentiment and queerness, and I was happy to see it.
Yeah, I was also interested because I knew in the comics, I can't think of her first name, but that Pennyworth is...
Yeah.
She's in the comics and far more than, you know, just one episode type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping she comes back because she's a great character.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen... I was reading in the most recent set of Batwoman... One of the most recent Batwoman trades with her. Yeah, and I've got to catch up on that because it was actually pretty good.
I'm a little curious just because all the other shows have had something vaguely, like, you know, Flash and Arrow, of course, have been leading into Crisis.
Right.
Supergirl has some setup for Crisis that they did early on, they've left alone.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't touched Batgirl yet, but, like, that's part two.
I mean, it has to, because
they only have, like,
to...
I think, one more episode before...
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, the episode basically is their mid-season break, right?
Right.
So I'm like, you have to do something to lead into it, because...
Yeah, they've thrown out some teasers for Crisis with the different shows, and I haven't watched the Batwoman teaser, because I'm just not that interested in that, but
right.
I did watch the Legends of Tomorrow teaser, and... That, I mean, it was 15 seconds, but it was sufficient to remind me of that. I love Legends of Tomorrow.
That's fair. Yeah, I haven't watched any of them, you know, because it's me. But I will say that, like, I kind of hate this in this weird way of I don't want to be watching a show and have my brain kind of go to administrative duties. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it annoyed me that I was watching Batwoman this week and enjoying the hell out of the episode. Because, again, I think it's an incredibly strong, like, first season.
Mm-hmm.
With the first three episodes being kind of, you know, a little bit skiffy.
Yeah.
But it found its feet really, really quick.
Yeah.
And I just did not like the fact, and I know it's just me, but, like, that I'm watching the show and partway through the episode, I'm like, hey, they have some stuff they have to do. How are they going to fit that in? I'm like, I don't want to be thinking that.
And this is the price we pay for all this, like, connected, serialized, multimedia entertainment, and which
right.
is you have to sort of, and I know that certain segments of fans really, really seem to enjoy this and lean into this, and I don't think it's always that healthy, but there you go. But yeah, no, I like to watch for the characters and development. I don't want to be
right.
thinking, how are they going to move some pieces around? Because that's not the show for me. That's the characters, the people, the drama is the show, right? Not
right.
what you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Not. And that's why I file under like administrative stuff, because that's what it feels like.
That's pretty good. I really like that. Yeah. I don't want to be doing like mental paperwork when I'm watching
right.
a show. Yeah.
And yet, like, at the same hand, as much as, like, I don't tend to watch trailers and all that, like, I am still happy knowing that, like, Crisis is around the corner.
Exactly. Because I think it's probably going to be, like, a complete delight. I mean, this
right.
If I could guess, but yeah, and I've and usually I mean I know you don't you tend to avoid trailers. I kind of go all in, usually ruining everything in the process for myself. But you know
sure.
That's just me. Trailers have just gotten too good at remixing and repackaging contents of a show or a movie into a more appealing shape than the actual show or movie. So I pay the price
well,
for
and
that.
That's just it, right? Like,
yeah.
A, I don't like spoilers because, like, especially for like things like movies or even a TV show, frankly, because if I'm going to spend my time watching a thing, I want to watch the thing. I don't want to
right.
be kind of like I've had that happen with movies where it's like I'm watching a movie and there's a line that was in the trailer that I really thought was funny,
and
so
it's...
I'm like half like a little teeny corner of my brain is waiting for it and trying to figure out when it's coming.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that.
Yeah. And the thing that really annoys me is that most, when that happens, the line can never land the way it did in the trailer.
Right.
Because you've already heard it. It's right. already happened for you, so it's just kind of like...
Yeah, you've heard the punchline before the joke. And so, like, I try to avoid that sort of thing in general.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at the same time, like, I do kind of want to be like, okay, well, look, Crisis is, like, around the corner. Here's the big thing that's going to happen that we're working toward, because that it does build a level of excitement. And it's like this weird problem of trying not to set myself up for the disappointment of, well, I've already heard the punchline.
Right.
Because I can still enjoy stuff. I mean, especially, you know, like West Coast-wise, anything that airs live is spoiled before I can watch it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you get used to it. But there is that level where it's just always kind of sad.
Oh, this sadness.
Uh-huh.
So I think we're coming close to the hour mark here.
We are.
And it's a little late. We're recording late this evening, as you know. But, you know, our audience, who
Destroy
is Destroy
Our Culture may, Nights, may, as it were.
Exactly.
I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does.
It as it should. Oh, which reminds me, I saw the first episode of Rick and Morty, season 4.
Okay.
I've never seen
a Rick or a Morty.
You've never seen? Oh, that's right. You are one of them. If you enjoy Rick and Morty, you would have enjoyed this.
Okay.
And that's but you know, it's Dan Harmon is doing things.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that sounded like fun, and then. The fan base happened.
Yeah.
And I decided to just stay the hell away, which isn't fair to the show.
But you know,
there's enough to watch that I can happily stay away and not notice.
Precisely. Yeah. I think Rick and Morty is, I mean, it's one of those shows that I really enjoy, but I don't need to see every episode when it airs. I can take it or leave it. And enjoy its intellectual and puerile pleasures.
Real quick before you go, because I know you haven't watched Supergirl in a bit.
Right, yeah, let's...
But this episode, just one note about this episode. They have a character, this villain is revealed, who has the ability to, like, move and shape Earth.
Ooh.
And they flat out call him an Earthbender. They use those words. And they never make a reference to Korra or Avatar or anything.
Whoa.
They just go... He's an Earthbender. What else would you call it? I'm like, you should really tag that.
Wow. I'm glad you said that to me, because, I mean, if that would have just thrown me right out of the episode.
It threw me right out, like, because it felt like this pop culture reference, except it was Brainy who did it. And then I waited for someone else to be like, to you know, complete the reference, essentially.
Right.
Like, to, you know, to close the circle, because you need to on that sort of thing.
Right.
And just, they didn't. They just left it.
Weird.
Yeah. It was really strange. Like, it completely threw me out of the episode. I will say this episode does have an amazingly good scene or two in it, though. So.
Okay, cool.
And I will not spoil what it is, because I was not expecting to pull a trigger.
Cool. I will watch it. I always fall behind on Supergirl, but
it's
even
one of those
though
shows where it's really enjoyable, but it's really easy to not watch in a weird way.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, I don't feel like I find I need to be in a certain like I need to be willing to, like, with Supergirl, as much as I enjoy the show, and I'm a little bit like this with Flash, I need to be able to say, well, I've got 40 minutes. What am I going to spend it on? I can spend it on watching these shows, or I can do something else I like. And usually the something else I like wins out.
Right. Well,
And
I will say
then things get pushed down. Yeah.
They've done one good thing, for them at least, is that with the crossovers, they've ensured that I feel like, oh, I have to be up on all of them before that happens.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. So yeah, I'm going to be watching everything before. Oh, and Stump Down did something unforgivable.
What did they miss? I thought they missed another week.
Yes,
okay.
unforgivable.
Oh,
There
okay.
was a
I
week where
thought
I.
I was like, did I miss an episode? I got angry.
No,
Started to panic.
they went for a week where I was not given an episode of Stumptown,
It's
and
the
I've
second time.
already, I know, I'm already starting my letter writing campaign to whoever will listen.
I mean, hey, if they have to take a couple weeks off, because I don't know. As long as we keep getting the show overall, I'm good.
Yeah, me too. I do kind of miss it though. I was like, oh yeah, Stumptown. Ah, damn it, no Stumptown.
I will admit, by the way, I did watch two trailers for upcoming seasons of shows. And you know I don't do this, but I gave in for two shows this year.
Oh, do tell.
I watched The Magician's trailer.
Oh, right, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, they're doing exactly what I wanted them to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we can. Well, I don't want to. I'll watch it, and then we can talk about it
Yeah, I mean,
later
at
down the
least with the
road.
voice over there.
Yeah.
But also the Expanse trailer dropped.
Yes, I know. I was gonna
And
ask if you would pull the trigger on that
I
trailer.
wasn't gonna, but I had to. Was it one of the cast, I forget who now, was tweeting recently, like, 'cause you know they get DVDs of the show, right?
Right.
Or at least access to screeners. And so that they actually binged the entire season in one day and they knew it was gonna happen. I'm like, yeah, please do this. Like, they have the same writer, so I see no reason this is not going to be again. Like, every season's been better than the last.
Yep, yes.
I know it won't last forever, but
I frankly, I thought this, the trailer, for just from the looks of it looks spectacular.
and of course, that last line was my everything.
I'm free right now. Is that the
Yeah,
yes?
it's the, you know, one day we're gonna get bloody.
Yes.
I'm free right now.
Yeah, you could tell they were like, let's end this. Let's put a button, like an Amos button on this whole thing. Yeah,
Because, I
that was
mean,
pretty freaking great.
who doesn't love Amos?
Exactly. I was watching a season two episode. It's the one where the where Anderson Dawes's men try to like take over. You know, it's one where like they shoot Drummer, and then Drummer, when the
Right.
tides are turned, she just shoots them in the head and, you know, walks past
Yeah.
them like they're beneath notice. But there's an argument between Amos and Alex, and they start to sort of get into it, and then Amos says, you know, I don't want to fight you, because, you know, if we got into a fight, who'd pilot the ship?
Yep. Yeah, I remember like season three had so many of those moments with him.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Where
I
it was just
mean,
the I forget what the line was, but when he saves the researcher guy who's become his friend
oh,
and just
God.
like steps in instead, and it's just one of these like it is one of the coldest fucking lines you've ever heard.
Oh, is it? It's not the I am that guy line, is it?
Maybe it is.
That's the bit where he
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
offs.
when he's gonna kill the guy, he's like, he's not the guy. He's like, I am
Yeah,
that guy.
I am that guy. And it's like, yeah, and that's that great reaction shot from the scientist. I can't remember who plays him. Not Peter Utterbridge. Another great Canadian sort of like character actor. And it's just like the look, like, oh shit, I've got no room to wiggle on this. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
So fun.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
All right.
it is late. We should play some music.
Yeah, let's play that music.
Woo!
Music.